All right, you can be seated. Amen. I want to give you what's called a topical message. My normal standard of preaching is to take a passage of scripture and expositorily explain it. But tonight I want to go through a story. I want to look at a story. And I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. We're not going to read the verses, but I know y'all are note takers. Look at the person next to you. Say, are you prepared to take notes? If they're not prepared, lay your hands on them and rebuke that spirit off of them. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. We're not going to read them, but I'm hoping you'll write them down and go back and read them at some point in your devotion. So when you have an opportunity, I want to do that. I want to title this message, DISSED. D-I-S-S-E-D. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, DISSED. I'm going to come back and talk about what that means in just a moment. But I want to talk about this particular subject tonight because I grew up troubled and tortured. I think I've said this before. By a series of things in my life that has left me depressed and frustrated and suicidal even. I think I've shared that before. I have found myself in places of hopelessness. But eventually God spoke to me through his word and gave me an answer to my feelings and to my problems and to the way I was thinking. And I wanted to talk about this because once I learned the answer to this and once God spoke to me, it changed my life. It changed the course of my life. And I believe that there's some people here today, I think I've said this before, again, who know how to smile in church and act like everything's fine. But deep down inside, there's some pain and sorrow and frustration, disappointments that I want to share with you what I learned. Matter of fact, I wish somebody had told me when I was your age what I'm about to tell you now. I wish I knew it when I was a younger person. I'm 60. Go ahead, tell your neighbor. He looks so young to be 60 years of age. Come on, tell them. I want y'all to tell them. I wish I had learned this early in life. I wish I had learned it earlier because it would have made all the difference in the world for the course of my life. And I just want to walk through this and want you to hang with me for a few moments as I talk about this particular subject. I want to hang this discussion on the story of a gentleman named David in Scripture. Many of you know who David is. He's an incredible person. Amen. But David, initially, when I learned about David, I was troubled about David. And I was troubled because according to Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says, write that verse down, he was a man after God's own heart. This is what the scripture says about David. He was a man after God's own heart. And I had a problem with reconciling the fact that he was, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart, because when I looked at his life, that joker did some jacked up things. He killed Saul's murderer. He committed adultery. He tried to cover it up. He had the woman's husband murdered and killed, and yet the scripture says this is a man after God's own heart. I had trouble reconciling that. But in spite of it, that's what the scripture says about David. That ultimately, he done some bad things. Y'all looking shocked at what David did. But there's somebody on your row who looks saved, but they done some nasty things in their life too. Go ahead and look up and down your row and see who those people are. Yeah, you weren't born saved. You haven't lived all your life saved. You haven't dotted every I and crossed every T. Y'all act like y'all been saved all your life. I see y'all up here jumping and praising the Lord like you've been saved all your life. But you've done some messed up things in your life. You've made some bad choices. You've done some wrong things. But thanks be to God for the blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sins. Somebody say, that's great news. that the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. And so we have an opportunity to, even though no matter what we've done in our past, no matter what you did, I don't care how far in the past it was, how recently it was, because I know some of y'all got some skeletons in your closets. You got some stuff in your past you don't want nobody to know about. Okay, y'all didn't get that. That's why, because y'all got fresh bodies laying up in your closets. Y'all look at that in a few minutes. Y'all a little slow. You dragging, you done drug something in there last night and threw it up and closed the door. But God is a God of another chance. I stopped saying he's a God of a second chance. He's a God that gives me another chance. And anybody here ever messed up and said, I'm not going to do it again, and you went out and did it again, and you look for thunder and lightning to come and take you out, but God showed you mercy and you asked God for another chance? I stopped saying a second chance. I ran out of second chances a long time ago. He keeps giving me another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance. Somebody high-five your neighbor, say, thank God he gave me another chance. I didn't deserve it, but he gave me another chance. He should have sent me to hell, but he gave me another chance. I should have been rebuked and kicked out of heaven, but he kept giving me another chance. So the scripture talks about this man, David. God gave him another chance. And yet there are a series of events that happen in David's life where he finds himself in an outcast condition. He didn't get there often by any wrong actions of his own, but as a result of divine providence of God, he finds himself dissed. I'm not sure how y'all relate to dissed here in South Africa, but in America, diss means you got kicked to the curb. It means you got pushed to the side, ignored. It means that somebody acted like you didn't even exist. You got dissed. And through a series of incidences in David's life, he gets dissed on multiple occasions. I'm going to give you the verses to these stories. You can jot them down, but I just want you to walk with me. I promise I won't preach long. I'll be finished when I get done. In 1 Samuel 16, jot it down, verses 6 through 11. Read it when you get an opportunity. Comes the first experience of David getting dissed. It happens when the prophet comes, Samuel comes to Jesse's house, David's father, comes to his house and says, God told me that the next king of Israel is in your house. And so Jesse marches 7 of his 8 sons in front of the prophet, thinking that the next king is one of these 7 sons. But all 7 of them march before Samuel. Matter of fact, Jesse marches them before Samuel twice, and each time Samuel says, it's not none of them. Surely you must have another son, because I'm sure I'm in the right place, and I know God told me that the next king is here. And so finally, he said, surely you don't mean already jacked up David. And the Bible says that he said, bring him here. And he brought David out. And the moment David came out, the oil flowed from the horn that Samuel had, meaning that this was the one who God has anointed to be the next king of the land. I want you to make note that here his father did not even consider him, didn't even bring him out, didn't even put his name in the running, didn't even make the nomination that it might be him. His father pushed him to the curb, never considered him, never thought about him, pushed him to the side. And yet he was the one that was to be the next king of Israel. That's 1 Samuel chapter 16. I wish that was the only dissed moment in David's life, but it's not. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 20 through 28, jot that down, verses 20 through 28, David's brothers are down in the battlefield, and his father sends him down to the battlefield to check on the battle and see how his brothers are doing. Let me paint the picture for you. His brothers are in the army. They are members of soldiers in the army, and they are fighting against the Philistines. And when David gets down to the battlefield, he is shocked at what he sees. Because what he sees is the Philistine army has sent their champion soldier, a giant named Goliath, out to the battlefield. And the nation of Israel, the soldiers of Israel, are hiding over in a ditch, with nobody being courageous enough to step out into the battlefield and fight this giant named Goliath. It is interesting to me that here David runs down to the battlefield and asks what's going on. And they tell David, they say, the king has offered the man who will go and fight Goliath and defeat that giant. The man who does that won't have to pay no taxes. He'll be rich and he'll get the king's daughter's hand in marriage. David said, now, what did the king offer for the one out there? And the Bible says he grabbed a hold of his slingshot and five stones and marched out into the battlefield and slung his slingshot and killed Goliath. But before that happened, his brothers pushed him to the side, dissed him, rejected him. Said, you ain't supposed to be down here. David was only 17 years of age. He was a young man, but they said he was too young. Where the young people at here today? Don't ever let anybody tell you that you are too young to do the work of the Lord. Don't ever let anybody diss you and say you are too young. Where the young people at? If God can use David to defeat Goliath, God can use you to do great and mighty things for his kingdom. You can be used. David gets rejected by his brothers, pushed to the curb. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 and 33, even before he went out to fight Goliath, the king said to him, you're too young. You can't go out and fight against that man. He's a man of war. He's won many battles. You've never even been in a battle. So now he's been rejected by his family, dissed by his family. Then he got dissed by his boss. He was a servant. David was the harpist for the king. So anytime the king got troubled, his job, one of his jobs, was to go play the harp for the king. And now the king tells him, you're only a youth, 1 Samuel chapter 17. You have no business going out there doing battle. But yet he dissed him. Somebody say he got dissed. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, Samuel disses him yet again, because check this deal out. David has killed Goliath. They done killed Goliath, chopped off Goliath's head. I could talk about that for a few more, because there's some giants that you need to chop the heads off in your own life. But that's another message for another day. I'm not going to talk about that today. Maybe next time. I am coming back. I'm inviting myself back. Hey, look, whether the pastor invited me back or not, I'm coming back. I'm telling y'all right now. I love this church. I might join this church. I forgot what I was about to tell y'all for a minute. I got so excited. So, yeah. They chopped off Goliath's head, and now the army is celebrating that they have won the battle. They have defeated the Philistines. So now they're marching back into the city, and the women have lined the streets of the city, and they are celebrating the fact that the Philistines have been defeated. But listen to the praise that they're singing. They're singing a song in unison that goes something like this. They say, Saul, oh Saul, Saul has killed his thousands. Saul, oh Saul, Saul has killed his thousand. But David, oh David, David has killed 10,000. David, oh David, David has killed 10,000. The women are singing the praises of David. And Saul is not happy about it. Saul gets in anger about it, and on several occasions he tries to kill David. So not only did his employer diss him about going and fighting the Goliath, once he defeated Goliath, his boss now wants to kill him. So David ends up on the run. This man has been dissed by his father, dissed by his brothers. He's been rejected by his boss. He has had a series of rejected moments. He finds himself on the run, running away from the king who's trying to find him and take him out because he's become a popular person. And so now he finds himself, David finds himself running into a cave with a group of rejected men. Rejects. The Bible says they are in distress, in debt, and in discontent. He's rejected. He's dissed. David's dissed. Now he's joining up with a bunch of dissed men. Y'all missed it. In distress, dissed, in debt, and discontent. And they have voted to make David their boss, their king, their leader. He becomes the leader of this group of reject men. And so now these rejects who are hiding in a cave, living in a cave, now must find something to do to take care of themselves. And so they go, David leads them. Now this is an amazing deal. David leads them to go and join and get employed by the Philistine army. Now, isn't that strange? He didn't kill the Goliath. Now he's going to go and work for them. They become soldiers in the Philistine army. And so one particular day, they're about to do battle against Israel. They're about to go fight against David's people. And when the general comes and inspects the army, he sees these Jewish boys in the army, and he fires them on the spot. Have I lost y'all yet? Are y'all still with me? Now he done got fired again. Now he got dissed by the enemy. Are y'all with me? Are y'all following me? They get dissed. They get dissed. And so they go back home. And when they get back home, they discover that their camp has been burnt with fire and their children and their wives have been taken captive. So now they done lost everything they had. All these men, and the Bible says they spoke of stoning David. Now he'd have got dissed by the rejects. Look at your neighbor and say, you know you're in bad shape when you get dissed by the rejects. This man has been rejected and has gone through a series of rejections in his life. He has been dissed over and over and over and time and time and time again. Looks like life is not doing well for him. Then when he became king, later on in life he becomes king. I'm almost finished. Y'all supposed to say take my time, but it's okay. When he becomes king, he figures out a way to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It had been vacant and had been missing, and they found it and they brought it back. And as he brought it back into the city of Jerusalem where the Ark of the Covenant belonged, when he brought it back into the city where it belonged, he was so excited to bring it back that the scripture says he danced, he was shouting, he was celebrating, he was dancing, and he danced so much till he danced out of his clothes. And the Bible says his wife was standing in the window from the palace, from the king's palace, watching him dance, and said, look at him making a fool of himself. So when he finally walks in the house, walks into the palace, his wife says, you sure made a fool of yourself. Now she has dissed him. Now you know when your wife disses you, you are a jacked up joker. Go ahead, look at your neighbor, say, my wife done dissed me multiple times. I'm going through all of this to tell you something, because there's somebody here today who has been feeling rejected and left out, and you want to know why you don't fit in, why nobody accepts you, why are you not loved, why are you not supported, why are you not acknowledged, why are you not seen, why won't they give you a license, why won't they recognize your gift, why won't they use you, why do they walk around you, why do you get dissed and rejected? And as you look back over your life, you see a series of rejections. But I got some news for you. I got a word for you, because I want you to understand, after every time David got rejected, something spectacular happened to him. After he got rejected by his father, Samuel came and anointed him with the oil to be king. After his brothers dissed him on the battlefield, he went and defeated Goliath. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying to you. After Saul dissed him and said he wasn't no good and tried to kill him, the Bible says that God was with David. After David was dissed by the Philistines and dissed by his own men, the Bible says David recovered everything that the devil had taken from him. Somebody tell your neighbor sitting next to you, you're going to get your family back. You're going to get your marriage back. You're going to get your children back. You're going to get your home back. You're going to get your name back. You're going to get your career back. You're going to get your reputation back. You're going to get your anointing back. You're going to get your gift back. You're going to get your joy back. You're going to get your peace back. It's coming back. You're going to get it back. High five your neighbor, say, I'm going to get it back. Tell him, high five him on the other side, say, I'm going to get it back. And after his wife dissed him, I like what he said. After his wife dissed him, he said to her, if you thought that I was foolish looking when I danced this time, wait till you see me dance the next time. I'm trying to find some people that don't mind giving God an undignified praise. I'm trying to find somebody that believes in giving God a praise and giving him the glory regardless of what anybody else says about you. Hallelujah. I'm almost finished. I'm coming to a close. I'm bringing it to a conclusion. But I need to tell somebody here today who find themselves like me in a posture of being dissed. You have been dissed, you have been pushed to the curb, but guess what? You are in good company. Moses got dissed by Pharaoh. Joseph got dissed by his brothers and sold into slavery. Paul got dissed by the early church. Jesus got despised and rejected by men. And I'm here to tell you that God, you may be dissed, you may be disliked, dismissed, dismayed, disappointed, discarded, disavoided, disinherited, discounted, disapproved, disadvantaged, discharged. People have found all reasons to diss you, but my assignment to tell you is you've been dissed. When you get dissed by men, it means you're about to be discovered by God. Somebody say, I'm about to be discovered by God. He's about to take the cover off. He's about to get me revealed. He's about to call me. I'm about to be used and discovered by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's about to discover you. Hallelujah. Don't cry because you got dissed. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of Glory is coming in. The sign when you are dissed by men. Listen to this. Hold up for a second, and y'all can shout real loud now, because I need to make sure they hear. I'm about to say something really major right here, right now. And I don't want them to miss it, because they're shouting and dancing. They got to hear this. Here's the deal. When you get dissed by men, the whole reason God allowed you to be dissed, because he didn't want you to fit in. Y'all not getting that. He don't want you to fit in with the world. He don't want you to fit in with the rest of the group. He don't want you to be just like them. Because there is something special about you. There's an assignment for you. There's a call for you. There's an anointing for your life. God does not want you to fit in. He doesn't want you to fit in. Because you're special. Amen. This is a signal and a sign. Here's why God don't want you to fit in. Because when he takes you where he gonna take you, he don't want no, I know this is not good English, this is bad English, but it's good preaching. He don't want you to fit in, because if you fit in with them, they'll try to take credit. What God wants to do with you is take you to a place that can't nobody get the credit but him. Nobody else gets the glory but him. Nobody can take recognition for it but him. Somebody tell your neighbor, God is about to discover me. He's about to reveal his gifting and his call and his anointing. People rejected me. It's God's sign that I'm special to him. When I was growing up, I was dissed by girls, dissed by teams and sports, dissed by churches that didn't want me, dissed on jobs, dissed by friends. I find myself, they didn't invite me to their parties. They didn't come to my party. But look at me now. Y'all excuse me for just a second. I gotta shout myself. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think about where he brought me from, when I think about what he has done in my life, my soul cries out, hallelujah! Thank God for what he did for me! Matter of fact, I throw a party every Sunday now. And 11,000 people come every Sunday to my party. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. What I want you to know, here's where I'm closing. This is my first close. What I want you to know is when every time you get rejected, that's God's way of saying to you, I don't want you to fit in. I don't want you to be a part of that group. I don't want you to get there, because I'm about to take you someplace. And when I take you where I'm going to take you, I want nobody else to try to take the credit or the glory. Only Jesus gets the glory. Somebody tell your neighbor, only Jesus gets the glory. You can't take it. You can't have it. You can't take, say you did it. You didn't pick me up by, you didn't pick me up. You didn't put me there. You didn't open up the door. You didn't make it possible. You didn't make a way. You didn't give me the job. You didn't forgive me of my sins. You didn't wash away my sins. You didn't deliver me from my bondages. Only Jesus did that. Only God did that. The lily of the valley did that. The Prince of Peace did that. He did it for me. You're special. He loves you. He's giving you another chance. He spared your life for such a time as this. You've been trying to fit in. You've been trying to be accepted by everybody else. God don't want you to fit in with everybody else, because you are his possession. He loved you enough to die on the cross for your sins. He paid the price so your sins could all be forgiven. I love the Lord Jesus. He washed away all of your sins. He's made provisions for you to be forgiven. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't work your way to heaven, your sins forgiven. Only putting faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross can get your sins all washed away. Now, you got to have the courage to say, you know what? I don't want to keep living the way I'm living my life. I want to be surrendered to Him. And I want to invite you right now. I want right this moment, right this instance, to tell you, if that's you, if God's talking to you, and I know He's talking to somebody in here today, I want you to get out of your seat and make your way right down here to this altar right now. Come on and say, you know what? Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Come on, right this moment, right this instant, right this minute, say yes. Yes to the Lord Jesus. Yes to the Prince of Peace. Yes to the Lily of the Valley. Say yes to the Lord. Come. Get right with Him while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come and get right with Him right now, right this instant. Come on, come on, come, 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 come. Come, Pastor, come. This is the time, this is the moment.